connected. Text 960-960 to get your voice heard. Ryan Pinder in the morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
So productive today, you will not believe it. It is Pinder and Wills in on your Wednesday morning, and if you think the NHL has slowed down, if there's no news, you have to remove the rock from above you and come back to planet Earth's surface, because this is going to be about a week to a week and a half of the busiest stretch in many regards of the NHL season. Awards go today. Giordano for the NHL Foundation Award is a nominee. Gaudreau nominated for the Calder. Hudler nominated for the Lady Bing. And, of course, Bob Hartley, your Jack Adams Trophy favorite, you'd have to think. The awards will go today. We've got Boomer and Warner down in Vegas. We have audio for you to play in about 5 minutes' time. Boom did a great job actually getting three of the four candidates together, the three players, Giordano, Hudler, Gaudreau, for a little rap session with the three of them. It's a little different. The one-on-ones can be stale. When you bring teammates together, they start to take little jabs at each other and have some fun. So this will be interesting. And we'll play that for you in 10 minutes time.
And they actually managed to track down Yuri Hudler.
He's there, unlike locker cleanout day. Although, you know what? Hey, he's getting hardware. He's not getting asked tough questions. He's there to, and it's Vegas. You think Hudler likes Vegas? Come on.
We rarely wanted to ask Yuri Hudler tough questions all season. He had a terrific season. And he's just not all that keen on talking to the media on a daily basis. So you have to accept him for who he is, and that's a heck of a hockey player. And my fingers are crossed for him and the other Flames up for awards tonight.
Yeah, and I think he's got a shot at that Lady Bing. A lot of people are saying, well, it's, you know, it can be a name award sometimes because the qualifying attributes, like there's no stat. Look at this. That guy's going to win the Lady Bing. I mean, it does become a name recognition award, but he led the league in even strength points. Why not Hudler for the Lady Bing?
Why not? And I actually thought he was a bit of a long shot for the award until I had Pat Steinberg on yesterday, and Pat kind of swayed me a little bit. Pat thinks he should win the award. We'll see.
Really?
Yeah.
So Pat thinks the Flames should win the award. I actually think he's got a great case. A little jab there, but clearly, he had an excellent season, a career year for Yuri Hudler, without question. I mean, there's nothing close on his resume to what he did last year. 2 years ago was great. This was even better. And there's 1 year left. He's probably, well, let's see. Today is the 24th of June. He's a year and 7 days away from a massive payday if he can do what he did this year again.
And that is an if. There's no doubt about it, but there were many turning points in the Flames season in 2014, 2015, but one of them has to be when Bob Hartley, who's also up for an award tonight, and I think will win it, the Jack Adams, when he put that line together of Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, and Yuri Hudler. The first time he did it, it didn't really work. He tried it again, and obviously it worked beautifully. And those three guys were so much fun to watch this year. They complemented each other really well, and it was fun to hear Yuri talk about Johnny yesterday and joke around about how he thought he was a stick boy.
Stick boy.
Yeah.
Looked like a stick boy off the ice. On the ice, he looks like a potential Calder winner. No question about it. And I'm who knows what Yuri Hudler's next season looks like, but he's trending in the right direction. His last 2 years have been the best two of his career. That's 2 years in a row where he's led a team in scoring. And no one, not Ovechkin, not Crosby, not Jamie Benn, not John Tavares, had more points at even strength. That's an incredibly productive year. I wonder what it's going to take to re-sign him. If the Flames are having those conversations now, I suppose they'd be eligible July 1st to extend him if they were interested. And if you can't extend him, or his agent's saying, yeah, well, he's a top-of-the-market player, why wouldn't we get top-of-the-market money? Maybe this is the time that you pick up the phone.
Well, if you're the agent, no doubt about it. I don't think his value will ever be higher than it is right now. But if you're the team, isn't it more of a wait and see?
Oh, I think his window to be great, he's in the middle of it or at the end of it. And the Flames as an organization would be at the very beginning. So I don't think he matches their window to win, much like Phil Kessel in Toronto, and the terms clearly very different. But how bad are the Toronto Maple Leafs going to be for the next 3 or 4 years?
Bad.
So what are you doing with a 40-goal guy at $8 million a year? He does no value for you. If you're going to be awful anyway, you may as well trade him, get assets, get out from under the cap obligations owed to him, and then hopefully turn that into an asset that can help you in 3, 4, 5 years, or grow with your young nucleus of Morgan Riley and Nylander. I think it's a very similar situation here with Hudler, a guy that in the last 2 years has put up 130 points. Wow, 130 points from Jiri Hudler in the last 2 seasons. It's impressive.
And on Kessel, the Leafs know they have to trade him now. They were so hesitant for so long to even use the word rebuild. And I wonder if what the Flames have done and how quickly they've done it has other teams thinking, okay, if we're honest with our fans and we tell them, here's what we're doing, and here's what we have to do to get to where we want to be, maybe our fans will be as accepting of that as Flames fans were. And if we do our job the right way, maybe things will fall into place and the rebuild will happen a little bit quicker than even we thought it would. And that's what's happened here. And I think Toronto's got to make moves like getting rid of Kessel and bringing in some picks and prospects to help that make that happen there.
Yeah, they picked number 4. We had Sammy Cosentino on at about 5:40. If you missed that, we'll replay it later this morning. His mock draft for Sportsnet came out, and he's a guy that's as well-connected as you'll find in terms of the junior prospects in this country and ranking them. So a very insightful 10 to 15 minutes with him that we'll probably rewind and play for you at about 8:20. But it's funny, we don't want to talk about the Leafs, and yet we find ourselves coming back to the Leafs. Is it because it's the big media center of the country? Well, sometimes it is. In this case, absolutely not. I think the Leafs go into the draft with a huge stack of chips. Arizona picks 3, but Arizona's not trying to shed bodies. They already did that with Vermette and Mahalik at the trade deadline.
And Yandel.
And Yandel, very good point. The Leafs have Phaneuf, 6 more years. Kessel, 7 more years, the number 4 pick, and all kinds of needs, as well as 2 goalies that, you know, they could shop either one of those guys, Bernier or Reimer, dependent upon interest level and what you might get in return around the league. They know they're going to be bad. They're not afraid to trade Bernier. It's not like they've been great with him. So I think Toronto is going to be a team to watch at the draft. Do they trade up to 3 to make sure they get the guy they want? Are they open to moving Kessel and Phaneuf? Is it just one of the two? And how tough are those deals to get done? Because the salary cap has really almost ground to a halt in terms of it was growing at 15 to 20% a year with regularity. And this year, we're going to see almost no growth. I believe 69 to 71 is going to be
2.1 is what I heard.
Right. And so as a percentage of the cap, you're talking less than a 5% gain, I believe, in terms of salary cap growth. That's not much room at all. And GMs are getting used to, okay, well, the cap's going to go up by, you know, the standard 10 to 20%. So if we're in trouble next year, don't worry. The year after, we'll get relief. The relief hasn't come for 2 years in a row now. It has not grown that much. And so how tough is it going to be to move Phil Kessel with all that term, all the money, and the hit at $8 million a year, Phaneuf for $7 million a year? There's a lot of teams that can't even answer the phone on that kind of, you know, texting you, hey, are you interested in Kessel? I can't even answer the phone. The only way that I think they really get a bidding war going for either of these gentlemen is if they're willing to eat salary. And then have you got bidding wars, because they're assets that people need. A top four defenseman, to be sure, and a guy that could potentially score 40 with a world-class center.
I don't know where they stand on Phaneuf, but they have said they are willing to take salary back in the Kessel deal, which makes that deal easier to make. And it's smart, because by saying that and by telling teams you're willing to do that, now you're bringing more teams into the mix. The more teams that are in the mix for Kessel, the more the price goes up. There is a market for Phil Kessel, and I think the market is better now than it was at the trade deadline last year, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but they were patient, and now they've got some teams lined up for a chance to potentially bring him in.
No, I agree. I think if you're willing to eat salary, teams have more space now than they do at the deadline. It's the case every year. More things seem to happen at the draft with bigger contracts and bigger names than they do at the deadline because it's just so tough to squeeze guys in under the cap at the deadline. And to be frank, everyone thinks they got a chance to win next year at this point, outside of maybe three or four teams. Toronto, Arizona, who else thinks you're going to be better?
That's parity.
Buffalo thinks they're better. Edmonton thinks they're better. Carolina, they're probably going to suck. But outside of a handful of teams, everyone thinks they're a playoff team at the draft. And that's another reason why it's an easier day to make a big deal and trade a big contract. Lots of draft talk. We're getting towards our coverage of the 2015 draft that goes round one Friday night, round two, of course, the full day Saturday affair. I cannot wait. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year. And of course, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, all over it. The picks, the trades, the analysis, the conversations. And yeah, we'll have the Flames picks and attendance on the air, general managers, scouting folks, all the info that you could ever imagine we will have for you Friday and Saturday. Also, tomorrow, as Rob and Pat will do their show from Sunrise, Florida, or I think in at least Miami before they get to Sunrise for round one on Friday.
South Beach?
Boy, Pat Steinberg in South Beach. It's been years in the making. It'll finally happen.
Close your eyes and picture this.
Really have to go to break here, Derek.
Pat Steinberg, don't have time. Rob Kerr in Speedos on South Beach.
Will, you have a sick, sick mind. Our draft coverage, but not that visual, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler, Employee Pricing Plus. Make no payments for 90 days, plus get up to 20% of your purchase back in cash. Go to VarsityChrysler.com and shop where Geo shops. Well, Levi, too, apparently. Varsity Chrysler, get Employee Pricing Plus at Varsity Chrysler. So one of our three great sponsors of the NHL draft. We'll hear those names rotated throughout the weekend. Can't wait to get more on it, but we switch gears to the NHL awards. The big man, Dean Boomer Mulberg, around in Vegas, wandering lobbies, looking at trophies, playing some table games. Throw a few quarters into the slot machine. Oh, and he bumped into Mark Giordano, Yuri Hudler, as well as Johnny Gaudreau. That conversation next on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Fan960 Pinder on Twitter. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I know it's midweek, and that might be a reason for you to feel a little bit of the pause. Today's not the day, friend. We are too busy, too much to talk about. NHL awards go tonight. We've got some audio from Vegas via Boomer. Darren Haynes will stop by in about 20 minutes' time. He will help us break down all things NHL entry draft with his one-of-a-kind historical perspective on the Flames that only he can deliver. When we get into the 7 o'clock, we've got Clean It Up. And, of course, Chris Peters will join us from CBS Sports, covering all things NHL. We're getting closer to a Mike Riley decision. We'll weigh in on what he thinks of some of the top U.S.-developed players. We haven't heard a ton about the likes of Kyle Connor, who's expected to go top dozen. We don't know a ton about some of the other guys, Colin White, Zach Werenski, a guy that played his 17-year-old season in college hockey. That's an absolutely rare event. So lots of hockey coming up, and right now we'll say good morning to a man that is usually sleeping at this time. He doesn't always get up early, but when he does, it's to talk to me, Mr. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. How are you, Tommy? Tommy, are you there? Morning, sir.
Morning. How are you?
Good, buddy. Sorry, we had some phone issues there. How are you?
Yeah. Good. Good, thanks.
Just another early wake up before six. No big deal.
As I said, they'll always get up, but this time, to talk to you, mate.
That's right. Well, I appreciate that. That's good stuff. Very quickly, you've got some hardware in terms of some of your players named to the PDL's All-Star group, or at least at mid-season. Five of your players getting some major recognition. And where are you at in the schedule here for folks trying to keep track of the club?
We play Seattle Sounders. They're under 23 side come to town on Sunday, June 28th, 1:30 kickoff at Hellard. Should be a good one, because what's now interesting is that both teams are vying for that all-important playoff spot, and it's now a must-win game.
What is it? 18 ties in a row here? What have you got going?
72, I think, by my last count. I think it's a league record. No, it's six in a row. I think I'm going to change my jersey sponsor from Celtic Power to Tyrac.
Yeah, sure.
I seem to have a few more, too many ties floating around.
What? Tell us the story. You played Thursday and Sunday, a 1-1 draw, a 2-2 draw. Were there late equalizers? That seems to be a theme. You've had enemies on the ropes, but they seem to score late, or did you have to save your own bacon late in these ones?
No, do you know what it is? We've all but one of these six ties we've led, and we just actually had a big video analysis night last night where we took the squad and we took six of the games and we reviewed them and we looked at stats and statistics, just trying to, you know, look under a few rocks as to what we're missing, because we're dominating the play. I mean, Kitsap came to town and they're the league champions from last year, conference finalists last year. Strong team, full professional outfit, as we know, and nobody's taken a point off them or scored on them other than us. We've scored twice on them in two games, and we took points and should have won, and they scored in the 83rd minute just on a counter-attack. And then against Crossfire, I'm still scratching my head about that game, because I think we dominated 75% of the possession, and then they had four shots and scored two. I think we had about 12 shots and scored two. So I think it's one of those things we're trying to learn, right? Are we now going to start parking the bus, you know, in the 70th minute, which isn't really my style. I like to play a good attacking brand of football. But is it a case now where we have to close up games, or still do we need to keep working on our attackers and give them the belief to finish goals? But this league's about developing players, you know, we're being tested in both ends of the pitch.
Hey, I was out for your second home game of the year. It was below 10 degrees. It was rain spitting. It was still a good crowd, enthusiastic if a little wet. What was Father's Day like? It sounded like you had some better weather.
Yeah, it's some better weather. It was an okay crowd, to be honest. I still think it's one of those that we're growing. People are needing to hear about. I've got to commend these foot soldiers are growing and growing. They actually had a social media call for help to the FC Edmonton group. And there was about, you know, 10 or 12 of those people that drove down from Edmonton. And for the whole game, they're just singing. They've got drums. They're dancing. And it's becoming a really unique, organically grown supporters group. And they're a lot of fun. I go see them after the game and chat with them. It's interesting to see their side of things. But it's really nice to see.
All right. Well, 1:30 at Hellard Field, the Seattle Sounders under 23 squad. Good luck, coach. And hopefully you get a big crowd and some great weather on Sunday.
Okay. Thanks, Ray.
All right, that's Tommy Wilden Jr. of Foothills FC. Six ties in a row. Holy moly. Ties, we got them. They've been great against the best teams in the league, but it seems like that late equalizer has come and bit them late in a bunch of those ties coming down the stretch. They have, by the way, four games left, two at home, two on the road. We'll break. We come back. Boomer in conversation with Giordano, Hudler, Gaudreau. You don't want to miss it. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Ryan Pinder in the morning, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It is 6:31 on your Wednesday. Lots of audio coming out of Vegas, courtesy Boomer. We also have Darren Haynes in the queue. We'll chat with him at about 22. He has a primer for the Flames draft with all kinds of historical references that is eating up all the toner here at 535. What's our address? I have no idea. 21 pages, just printed it out. 21 pages of draft insight from Hainsey. Can't wait to break that thing down. We got him on in about 12 minutes' time. Until then, we've got Boomer in conversation with Mark Giordano, nominated for the NHL Leadership Award. Yuri Hudler, nominated for Lady Bing. And Johnny Gaudreau, everyone's favorite 148-pound hockey player from Vegas.
Gio was at the pool about an hour ago, 45 minutes ago, looking buff, having some drinks, and now he's in here fooling everybody.
Yeah, he looks good. He always looks good. He's in a good shape.
Now, why don't you tell all those things you said about how he should? It's good he wasn't up for the Norris. He'll never win a Hart Trophy. Why don't you tell?
I never said that.
No, he said if you wouldn't have been hurt. I'm sorry, buddy. If you wouldn't have been hurt, you'd have been up for the Hart, and you'd have won the Norris Trophy.
Well, I treat Yuri really well during the season, and we're good.
That's not true. You know what he does? I said great things about him, and he says great things about Brody.
No respect, right?
Yeah, and Russell and White, and like they got their own group. They only talk about each other.
It's the same with goalies. Goalies love goalies. It's all this.
Yeah, they don't like each other. They don't like each other.
Don't compare us to goalies, please.
All right. You would have won the Norris. You know that, right? It's like, take it all. You would have won.
I'm not going to say that.
Boomer, I think it's a little... There's 20 games left, and if I would have went minus 30 with no points in those last 20 games, it would have been a different story.
He would be on the ice with me, so he had a big chance.
Who made who better? Did Hudler make you better?
That's a touchy subject.
Or did you help him get a career season?
I'll let him answer that.
He kind of answered it earlier. I'm just curious where
I was being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's played with a lot of great players.
Yeah, he definitely made me play better.
Oh, what did I say? I said we make each other
good. Right. Yeah, that sounds
good. Only who messes up all the time is Monty.
Yeah, where the hell's Monahan, right? Why is he not
here? So he's not here, so we can talk about him. Yeah.
So what is it about this guy? You two do think it much the same. Tell me about Yuri Hudler.
Yeah, I think we think the game kind of alike, so which is nice. You get to play with a player that thinks the game like you do. It's kind of
But I got a better sauce than him.
You know what else he said? He said he knew at training camp that you were going to be nominated for the Calder.
And yeah. I knew. I know. And I said when I saw him first time, I was going to ask him for something.
Yeah, he wanted to know if you could grab him a couple sticks. Stick boy, right?
Oh, yeah. I get that a lot. Yeah.
But no, he said as soon as he saw you and what you were doing out there, he knew you'd be up for the Calder. That's decent praise. Did you know about that until now?
It's the first time I heard about it. So, I thought I had a good training game.
You cannot tell him during the season.
Yeah.
His head would blow up.
His head would get too big for sure.
What'd you see? Because there was so much hype about him, right?
We practiced in Vancouver at the end of last season, and we did a couple of power play drills, and he was making plays. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's unbelievable. But
he's making plays, and I'm in front of the net.
But
getting beat up.
To say that I expected the year he would have this year, I don't know. It's tough to say, but that line got together and they were as good as any line down the stretch. Hands, I don't care what anyone says. Big time goals got us into playoff, helped us get into playoffs for sure. And I hope to see a little bit more of that next year.
Well, Monahan, we're kind of joking that he's not here and he can't defend himself.
He wouldn't anyway.
Yeah, he wouldn't say a word, and God be no good if he did. This guy's going to be something special. You talked about being up against Andre Kopitar. He's kind of regarded as one of the best centermen in the Western Conference. I think that Monahan is really starting to get there too, isn't he?
Somebody asked me about Johnny being a new Patrick Kane. You cannot think like that. Everybody's different. In 10 years, they're going to ask some young guys, are you going to be same as Johnny Gaudreau or Sean Monahan? Everybody's got different personalities, different style of playing. You can say they play similar styles, but time will tell.
What do you think of that comparable? Because it's not the first time you've heard it.
I think that's great that they're being compared to Patrick Kane. And I think it's fair, too.
I mean, it's awesome to have a name like that. Like, you'd be, in a name, like two names like that. It's awesome for my name to be around that. It's really cool, and it's something that I can look forward to and try to, try to become a player like that.
So, like, what's next for you? Like, you just kind of keep, like, we had you on the phone the other day to try and keep putting weight on. You go home and just stay fit and just, it's already very much, the wheels are very much in motion for you. What do you feel you have to do?
Keep playing the way I'm playing, I guess. I mean, try to make playoffs again. Be better than what I was, of course. My second season, so obviously I want to be better than what I was last year. And for a team aspect, try to make playoffs and again and push to win a Stanley Cup.
He also, I got a lot from Yuri earlier, apparently. He felt like...
Best interview ever.
Best. I don't know why you don't talk to the media. You're the best. He said... didn't feel too great or too confident about what was going to come when when Gio went down. What was your thoughts when you saw him pile up behind the net and then you knew he was done for the year?
Yeah, I was really nervous. Well, I saw him get hurt, and I didn't think it was going to be too serious. And then the docs got really worried, and you know, I got nervous too, cause, you know, missed our best player.
This is what happened after that game. Gio got hurt. I went to see him. I think Matt Station was there in the room, what do you call that, medical room.
Yeah.
So they said it was bad, and on the way to the locker room, we got kind of, me and Stage, we're a little sad, right? We're like, oh my God, that's not good. And Johnny was picking which pizza, which slice of pizza he's gonna get. And he turns around, he's got a full mouth of pepperoni pizza in him, right after he's got his skates on. And then he couldn't even talk, and he goes, how bad is it? Yeah. And me and the stage, we were like, it's bad, man. Why are you eating pizza right now? That's what happened.
Is that how you remember it?
Yeah, I guess.
So the one guy we haven't talked about is Coach. Coach Hartley. He's going to win this, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're a bit biased because we play for the Flames, but if you look at the expectations at the start of the year and what we accomplished, I would say so, yeah.
You compare him to anybody you've had, junior, pro, to this point, or can you?
I don't think so. I think every coach comes in with their own style. I will say that, you know, Bob demands a lot and hard work's number one, and, you know, our forwards have been unbelievable with back-checking, but... I will say that we have the green light to take chances and jump in offensively, and I think that's why we were one of the better offensive teams, and we're exciting to watch.
And for you guys, it's about being creative, having the acceptance from your coach to go out and create. How tight were the reins? And, you know, you're going to have to still hang back, but by all means, go.
It changes a little bit, right? Because he likes... us is our line, obviously, to create and score. But at the same time, if we start turning the puck over, and it's not pretty. You don't want to get on a bad side with Bob, right? He lets you know in a way you don't want to hear.
Yeah. That's been a big... But that was your way in Detroit, right? You guys had to play that same way. It was about back pressure. You had to play, right? No, speak of the devil. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Doing, buddy?
Good, bud. We were just talking about you.
We're the Calgary.
We
Flames.
Truly were just
we're
talking
we're
about
Calgary
you this
Flames.
Minute. Yeah.
See how it goes every day.
Yeah. We were talking about you as a coach. Everyone thinks you're going to win, and about the work. And Yuri was saying that yeah, it's about encouraging the offense for sure, but you got to have that attention to detail, right?
Yeah, for sure. Good stick. Running?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doing good?
Doing good?
Because you, of course, played, like I was saying, in Detroit. Now, did you learn some of that from Yuri a little bit, too? Offense, the ability to make plays and go to the net and all that, that's coming natural for you. But that attention to detail to come back, is that something you fed off of him with as well?
Yeah, I mean, skilled guy, obviously. See, you know, how important the defensive zone is, and you can look at those older guys and see how important it is to, you know, create offense, obviously, but you know, you got to make sure you take care of your own end.
I told Johnny and Monty to... No, I'm not roasting him. Relax. No, and I told them, right? They're literally the great young players to watch Dats Uzedberg when they play together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great example. They can learn anything just watching other great players. That's how everybody learns, I think.
Yeah.
Boys, thanks for your time. Everyone's standing around. They want to talk to you.
Not me. I'm done.
Why doesn't he talk?
All the positive energy from me.
Good luck. Good luck, Yuri. Thanks, man. Thanks, boys.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Hey?
Thank you.
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
Holy moly. Does Yuri Hudler need his own stand-up night? The studio audience agrees with me.
I would like to hear Yuri Hudler with a drink in his hand at Yuck Yucks one night. Would be very funny. We'll take a break. When we come back, Darren Haynes, all things Flames draft. He has a 21-page, I want to call it a Bible, regarding the Flames, their draft history, and what we could expect on Friday. That's next. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Not me, I'm done.
Talking sports in the morning. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yuri Bleeping Hudler. Wow. Why doesn't that guy talk to the media more? He's great at it. We'll see. I'm giving you one mission next year. Get Hudler on regularly. I don't care if he's doing the
weather. I've tried. There was one instance this year. We were in Dallas, and there was media availability at the hotel in the morning. So I asked Sean Kelso if I could speak with Yuri Hudler. He was on a real roll, piling up the points. Would have been 100% positive, the interview. At first, I was told yes. And then that turned into a maybe. And then that turned into Yuri going out the fire escape to avoid talking to me.
The fire escape.
It's creative, if nothing else.
No kidding.
You know who he reminded me of in that clip? When he said, good luck. You haven't seen Taken, which blows my mind.
Taken? Was this a TV show?
No, it's a movie with Liam Neeson. It's a movie. And anyways, they kidnap his daughter.
I've seen this one.
He gets the kidnapper on the phone and says, I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. And the guy replies, much like Yuri Hudler, good luck.
See, I thought it was Boom wishing Hudler good luck. But either way, we need like a roof report with Yuri Hudler. Today at Scotiabank Saddledome, the roof is on. Something completely ludicrous like that. Or the ice is cold. Something that's a little bit of comic relief. He was great. We'll probably rewind that in the 9 o'clock hour. But quickly to the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet Hotline. Say good morning to Darren Haynes, Flames from 80 Feet. Haynesy, how are you?
Having a fabulous day. The sun is out. I'm in a hockey rink. That's good Canadian living right there.
You got the shin pads and the socks on? How dressed are you? I hear it's a 7 o'clock ice time.
I just have one skate, which was a little bit awkward, walking with one skate on. So
yes, we just had Yuri Hudler and Giordano and Gaudreau live from Vegas. Not live. We taped yesterday with Boomer. How are you guys not getting Yuri Hudler on tape? This guy's an absolute comedian.
Oh, he is good. He's good when he's available. But as we saw on that locker cleanup day, sometimes he knows where there's exits that other people don't. So, I love Hudler. When he's available, and we saw him more this year than we have in the past, but and he's always very engaging, but he just doesn't like doing it.
Huh, interesting. Hey, looking at your thesaurus/dictionary-sized draft primer on Flames from 80 Feet, 21 pages. We're out of toner. We're out of toner downtown. I need you to drop off toner. You've ruined the building.
Well, that explains my carpal tunnel syndrome as well.
Yeah. Tell us about it. You say updated for 2015. I imagine you've kept some old content and added new.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, I kind of went under this exercise last June, and by last June, not sometime last June, pretty much the whole month of June, it felt like, and kind of gathering up tidbits and tried to kind of put the Calgary draft history, I'll say colorful, let's call it that, kind of gathered up some last time this happened, last time that happened. But at the same time, I wanted to update it, give it a refresh for this year, take a look at is there something new that we can touch on. And so I just kind of went through that. I updated all the tidbits to if there was anything that changed after last year and added in a few new items as well.
15, 52, 53, and then another couple in round three. What, do you expect they will take six players come Friday and Saturday this weekend from Sunrise, Florida?
I'm going to say no. I have a hunch, and this is all hunch, that one of those seconds will go. And I wonder if this isn't the first year since 1990 that the Flames will actually move up in the draft. They've moved down a lot. That seems to be their thing, is to take a pick and move down. But I wonder if they can maybe climb. And you know, there's those three defensemen, and you know that's a need. I wonder if they can get high enough to grab one of those three defensemen by flipping somebody and maybe going from 15 to 10 or 15 to 11 if they can find a trade partner. So that would be my hunch is maybe it's a player, maybe it's a pick. I don't a pick isn't going to be enough to jump four or five spots, I don't think, but maybe there's a combination of a kind of like a B prospect and a pick that could do it, but that's my hunch anyway.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know if they can move up 15 to into the top 10, and some mocks have Werenski, Hanifin, and Provorov all gone by 7. So if you are targeting one of those three, you're probably going to have to move a really significant asset and your first and at least one of your second, maybe two. It's very tough. And for the reasons you want to get into that top eight, it's the same reason teams will be hesitant to trade out of those top eight.
Exactly. And, you know, like, you know, when Brad talked to us before he left on last Thursday, you know, he mentioned it's really a bit of mystery as how things will shake down starting at three. So I think you have a bunch of contingency plans in place and you just kind of see how the dominoes fall, and there's always a surprise. And maybe the surprise is like a Werenski. Maybe he ends up kind of slipping and maybe you get into that 10 or 11, he's still out there, and maybe he's got some, and at that point, maybe Brad's got something in the queue where he can execute a deal he's kind of agreed to beforehand, and we maybe see a move. And hopefully it turns out then better than it did in 1990, which is one of the dates that the haunts the team is Calgary moved up from 20 to 11 in the trade with New Jersey so they could grab Trevor Kidd. And New Jersey, sitting there back at 20, also went with a goalie, and they settled for Martin Brodeur.
Yeah, well, I remember Nashville settling for Shea Weber in the second round, a couple picks after the Flames were keen on Tim Ramholt. So you don't win them all. That's why it's the draft. Projecting boys as men is not an easy exercise. Want to switch gears. Another piece you've got up at flamesfrom80feet.ca is specifically focused on the Flames' crease moving forward. We know Yoni Artio moves to a one-way contract this year. John Gillies has been signed. He will begin his professional chapter of his net mining career this year. And you've got 1 year left with Jonas Hiller. You've sort of gone year by year, but used some historical perspective. What's reasonable expectation for both Artio and Gillies to be ready for big NHL minutes or at least time in the NHL if we look at some good comparables for them at their age and the route they came through?
Yeah, I think the thing with Gillies is, you know, everyone seems to think that, hey, this guy should be ready. What, he'll need a year in the minors? Hey, maybe he can play this year. You know, if you look back historically, if he gets to the NHL after one season in the minors, that's super rare. Like, that doesn't happen. You know, if you look around the NHL, and these are guys that came out of college and were highly touted. Corey Schneider was a first-round pick. Ben Bishop came out of college, was a third-round pick. Ryan Miller, Jimmy Howard was a second-round pick. All those guys took at least three seasons in the minor leagues. And so I think what people need to kind of take a step back, and what, if you're Flames management, what's responsible of you is to take a step back and really not expect John Gillies to be in the NHL any sooner than 3 years away. And if it happens sooner, then you'll gladly take it. But I don't think you plan for that. I think that's where organizations make mistakes, is if you count on guys getting to the NHL faster than is what the norm is. So if you look at it in that regard, and Hiller's got 1 year left, so they're going to need to make a move, because you're not sure how much of the load Artio can take. He'll get a chance to, I think he's going to get a chance to wrestle away that number one job this year, but we don't know if he will be successful in that. I mean, he looked great in, what, a week in January last year, but that's really all we've seen in the NHL, and then he had a blow-up game in Anaheim. So, you know, I think the team is going to do what they've been doing and preaching for the last couple of years, which is make people earn their jobs and don't count on just kind of giving jobs to young players. And if you look at it that way, and with Hiller only having 1 year left, there's going to be a void in that goal crease starting next year, and it could be for a couple of years. So that's where I was thinking, you know, if you look at it that way, it makes sense why Treliving might be lining up, maybe looking at a goalie right now. If you're going to bring in a goalie for a couple of years anyway, why not 3 years if you can find someone that could be a right fit and could ultimately turn into be one of those guys that you end up moving forward with.
We're chatting with Darren Haynes, Flames from 80 Feet, on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet Hotline. Lube City Express Oil Change featuring Mobile One, warranty approved, a change for the better.
Darren, at the start of last season and pretty much throughout the season, it looked like the writing was on the wall as far as the Flames goaltending situation was concerned for the upcoming season. It looked like you've got Kari Ramo on an expiring contract. He'll be out. You've got Jonas Hiller with a 2-year deal. He's got 1 more year left. And then you've got Joni Ordio, who has been one of the top goaltenders in the American Hockey League for a couple of seasons on a contract that goes from a two-way last season to a one-way next season. So it looked like it was going to be a tandem of Hiller and Ordio for 2015-2016. Do you think that's the way it all plays out?
That's the easy way. That's the assumed way, and that's what looks to be the obvious way. But I'm not convinced, and I know they're not. I know there could be something else, because Brad Treliving said it exactly that way. When we talked to him when he did his media availability last Thursday, he said I have multiple plans for my goaltenders. He didn't say he had one plan. If he had one plan, that would be the plan. So he's thinking about other options, and what another option would be is to maybe do something with Hiller if there's some market out there, and maybe bring in someone that can be here a few more years and kind of bridge that gap. So, yeah, I don't think it's if I was a betting man, is it probably 60-40, 70-30, maybe 80-20 that's the way they go? Probably. But I don't think it's a slam dunk by any means, and I think Brad Treliving is just keeping his eyes open, and that's only smart. And that's the luxury of having Hiller under contract for another year, is you can kind of look at the market for goaltenders, see what the price is, and you're not forced to buy. He doesn't have to fill a hole right now. He can fill a hole, and if he brought in a goalie and he ended up with three, they could unload Hiller. They would be able to find someone to take Hiller. That's no issue. So I think it's just being a shrewd and smart businessman as a GM to start looking around and just seeing what's out there.
So if the Flames start the season with Jonas Hiller and Joni Ordio as their goaltending tandem, and I agree with you, I still think at this point in time that is an if. But if that does happen, how do you see that tandem playing out? Do you see Hiller being the clear number one? Do you see them using a 50-50 or so split like they did last season with Hiller and Ramo? Or do you see Ordio, who looked fantastic in five games last season, potentially stealing that number one job?
Well, going into the season, I find it hard to believe that Ordio in what will probably be, three games total, if you add up maybe a couple half games in there in the preseason. I don't think there's enough preseason for him to be anointed number one. So I think going into the season, it's going to be Hiller's gig. And again, that's consistent with the mantra. Always earn, never given. They're not just going to say, hey, Ordio, you're our number one guy to start the season. I can't see that happening. So they're going to go with a veteran, and they're going to make Ordio earn that job, win that job. But I think he'll get the chance. This is not like Hiller's going to start the first 12 games of the season or anything like that. I think Ordio will get in there, and he'll get in there a lot. And it's really on his shoulders to see if he can take over that job, because, he's the guy with a future here. So I think they're going to give him every opportunity to be that guy.
Wonder how tough it is to play for Bob Hartley if you're a netminder. There's been seven over his 3 years in Calgary. Obviously, Mika Kiprusoff's last year in the league. We saw Leland Irving, Danny Taylor, Joey McDonald, Kari Ramo, Jonas Hiller, and now Joni Ortio. Is it because there's been lack of a one, or is he a difficult guy to play for to become a one because he's never hesitant to go to the other guy if you don't look sharp for one night?
Oh, I don't know. You weren't just reading off a future Hall of Fame list there. So, I mean, I think if I was a goaltender, I'd like how Hartley does his business, where if you earn the starts, he'll give you the starts. I mean, isn't that what you want as a goaltender? And if you go in there and you give up four on 19 shots and you get the hook halfway through the second period, well, then, you know what? You're going to sit on the bench the rest of that game and probably the next game. And really, like, what more can you ask? You know, win and play, win and stay in. And so I think that's just the way he does business. And, that's how I would see that anyway.
Hainsey, good luck this morning. What position? I know there's a few scouts still brushing up their lists. I don't know your birth date necessarily, but are you draft eligible? And what number are you wearing today?
Not draft eligible, but I like to think I'm below the top three on the blue line for this year. So late, I might be a steal,
yeah, okay.
But I got to get both skates on for that.
You're the Oliver Killington. Good luck today.
That's right. Thanks, bud.
That's Taryn Haynes, flamesfrom80feet.ca. There's actually, I'm just going to retweet this. Jay, if you could find on the Boomer and Rhett Twitter account, the action shot that I've just retweeted of Taryn Haynes, half-dressed, one sock, one skate, in front of his iPad on the phone doing that interview in a locker room, or it's in the lobby. He's right next to the automatic skate sharpening machine. Oh, that is great. Is he not the best?
Oh. He's awesome. When I first arrived in Calgary last September, the Flames PR asked me if I'd do an interview with him. We had to spend 2 hours on the phone together. And I definitely learned more from him than he learned from me. he's just fantastic.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not even kidding when I said the building's low on toner after I printed his quote-unquote Flames, Calgary Flames A to Z draft primer. 21 pages. And letter by letter, A through Z, 26 different categories regarding the Flames' history in the draft, including Russian busts, Alberta-born players, CBA rules that may affect people being signed that they've already drafted, the depth of this year's draft. It's incredibly exhaustive, and only Hainsey and his historical perspective, of course, he's been here, I think, since day one covering the Flames almost. Only he could do that. So I'm with you. You're going to learn more from him than he's going to learn from you if you're chatting Flames with him. And we thank him for his time. Good luck on the ice there. It's going to be interesting with the crease this year. I think it'd be very easy, as you sort of framed it, to just say it's going to be Hiller and Ortio, two guys signed, easy, right? But what if Yoni Ortio doesn't look like he's ready? Would it be the worst thing in the world if he went to the A? Absolutely not. What if Jonas Hiller, all of a sudden you're getting phone calls about this guy because somebody lost out on Robin Leonard coming out of Ottawa, or because Cam Talbot and the Rangers decide they're going to stay together for a while, or because maybe a goaltender in St. Louis gets injured. I mean, there is a lot of goalies around, and yet how many of those guys that are floating around do you know can be a number one? Hiller has been a number one in his career. If someone calls you and dangles the right piece or combination of assets, I think you got to listen. He's an expiring contract. It's the exact same as Hudler, Russell, Jones. He's a guy that you could lose for nothing if you fast forward a year on the calendar. And I think some of those guys are more prone to re-signing in Calgary than others. I think Chris Russell's a great fit with this hockey club. He's been other places where he wasn't slotted as nicely. So I don't think that's going to be a tough deal to get done. But the history of Eastern European players in North America, they want to get paid. They're not looking for hometown deals because hometowns are in the Czech Republic. U.S. dollars back to your hometown is a good hometown deal if you're from there.
And the one consistent message we've heard from Brian Burke and Brad Treliving since the Flames were eliminated by the Ducks, what do they need to add?
Well, they say size.
They need to add size and speed.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're lacking in the speed department, but you want all your players to be able to skate. Yeah. And we saw a significant change in both series when Boma and Ferland were together in Anaheim, and when Ferland was at his healthiest in the Vancouver series, size had a major factor. But again, size that can skate.
Call me crazy, but I still wonder, I still think the Ducks win it, but I wonder where that series goes if three things happen. If Boma's healthy for the whole series, if Ferland's healthy for the whole series, and if Giordano can come back sooner.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of ifs there. We could play that game. People do it all the time with 2004.
I still
think, you know, what if you want to play the if game, what if you actually had a decent team in the two slot in the Pacific? They might have been Gonzo in the first round. It might have been the best matchup the Flames could have asked for out of any of the eight teams that made the playoffs in the West for them to play in round one. Don't think the Canucks are world beaters. Look at the two seed
in the other division. 100% right.
Look at the, you know, you were the eighth highest point total in the West, and you ended up getting the team with, what, the sixth? They were fortunate to get Vancouver in round one. If it shakes up with the old playoff alignment, they have Anaheim in round one. And sorry, they still haven't won in Anaheim in eons. That's not a place easy place to play. We're over it. We'll come back. Lots of reaction to Hainsey's thoughts. We'll further go into the crease for the coming seasons with the Calgary Flames. And I'm going to break your hearts. You're listening. You have an idea of what's going to happen at the draft. And we're going to go down history lane for a lesson that you're not going to like if you think the Flames, with those second-round picks, are going to strike gold. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.